Lecture 23, Athens in Decline.
Welcome back to our lectures on ancient Greek civilization. In previous lectures, we've been looking at the course of Greek history and culture in the 5th century, the classical period, and we saw how that century came to a climactic end with the Peloponnesian War, in which the Athenians and the Spartans fought a war that led to the collapse of Athenian power. The Athenian navy was destroyed. Spartans actually marched into Athens, a pro-Spartan oligarchy was established, and the Athenians for some time were ruled by this puppet government. The period that comes after this, the 4th century, is often dismissed as a kind of Cinderella period of Greek history, as if it doesn't really deserve our attention. In fact, I can remember once as a student being in a series of lectures about Greek and Roman history, and at the end of the Peloponnesian War in 404, the lecturer quite literally turned over his piece of paper and said, "I shall now begin on Roman history." As far as he was concerned, Greek history had stopped with the defeat of Athens in 404. In fact, that isn't the case at all. Greek history continued on for many years after this. It continues on to today. And the 4th century, far from being a period that should be dismissed, is in fact a period of a real interest to Greek historians. It is of interest because of what is happening politically. We're going to see in the 4th century what happens to that web of alliances and shifting alliances and wars that we've already seen operating in Greek history. But we're going to see new directions in politics as well, as the Greeks explore new ways of navigating their way through the terrible conflicts between the various city-states which have afflicted them for now hundreds of years. So in the first half of the lecture, what I want to do today is to talk about the political life of the Greeks in the 4th century, and in particular to try to tease out the new elements, the new developments that may suggest new directions for Greek politics and statecraft in the course of the 4th century. And then in the second half, I want to turn my attention away from politics and state life to the culture of the 4th century. It's particularly when we turn here that we see that it is wrong to think of the 4th century as inferior to the 5th. We still have great philosophers working. We still have interesting playwrights. We still have new developments in the arts. We still have rhetoric. In fact, rhetoric in the 4th century reaching a high point in comparison to its practice in the 5th. So we're going to look at a great number of cultural developments in the 4th century to see what issues are being explored by the Greeks in their culture, and then that will leave us by the middle of the 4th century dealing with the new phenomenon, the phenomenon which will in a sense bring to an end the classical age and usher in the next period of Greek history, the rise of Philip, the rise of Macedon, and the defeat of the Greeks at Chaeronea in 338. And those epoch-making events we'll postpone for the last lecture in our series. But let's turn our attention then to the politics of the 4th century. And this is an age in which a new term is often used to describe the political affairs of the Greeks, and that term is hegemony. It is in the 4th century that we find consistently one Greek state stepping forward as the hegemon, the leader of the Greek states, usually opposed by most of the other Greek states. And the importance of that relationship between a leading power and the rest of the Greek world is something we're going to explore a little bit more in a moment. During the 4th century, it can seem at first glance as if the Greeks remained mired in this endless repetition of wars and broken alliances that we've already seen in the 5th century. And in a sense, in the 4th century, it may look even worse. This seems to last from the Peloponnesian War in 404, 403, the end of the Peloponnesian War, down to the defeat of the Greeks at Chaeronea in 338. Alliances change on a year-by-year basis. And many people interpret this to mean that the city-state really had reached its evolutionary dead end, that Greek city-states forming these alliances were never able to achieve a higher degree of unification, and as a result were so weak that when a single great power outside their realm, namely the Kingdom of Macedon, came in contact with them, they could not resist.